Which of these stories will you be talking about tomorrow? The Ohio recount. Did the Kerry Edwards campaign say the re-election of President Bush does not, quote, warrant the public trust, unquote?
The Ukrainian presidential election will not go quietly into that good night, and apparently neither will John Kerry's lawyers. Our third story in the countdown, another set of conflicting remarks about Ohio from the Democrats on the ground there. And first, from here, what's left of the Kerry Edwards campaign today formally joined with the Green and Libertarian parties in their bid to get a federal court in Ohio to preserve evidence, including voting machines and data confirming how election laws were evaded during the recount there. But it's two statements by Kerry's lead attorney there that are still echoing oddly. Late Thursday evening, in announcing his group's intent to participate in that suit, lawyer Daniel Hoffheimer made the latest in a series of tantalizing statements, saying that Senators Kerry and Edwards, quote, want to be sure that all circumstances in the Ohio election, including the recount, should be put before the court and disclosed to the American people. Only then can the integrity of the entire electoral process and the election of Bush-Cheney warrant the public trust. According to a Gallup poll last week, 19% of that American public does not think the election merited its trust. But this is the first time someone connected to the Kerry campaign appeared to be part of that 19%. This afternoon, though, Mr. Hoffheimer issued a new statement. I would caution the media not to read more into what the Kerry Edwards campaign has said than what you hear in the plain meaning of our comments. There are many conspiracy theorists opining these days. There are many allegations of fraud, but this presidential election is over. The Bush-Cheney ticket has won. The Kerry Edwards campaign has found no conspiracy and no fraud in Ohio. You'll parse those statements with Newsweek's Howard Feynman in a moment. First, Green Party observers claim that the way that 86 of Ohio's 88 counties are conducting their recounts does not appear to be in line with the state law there. Under Ohio statute, 3% of every county's votes are to be selected at random for a full recount by hand. The premise is if the random 3% recount does not match the original vote total, the whole county has to be recounted by hand, and the counties don't want to do that. So they are selecting specific precincts that are more likely to match the original vote. Meantime, in Washington, 8 business days until the Electoral College votes are opened in front of a joint session of Congress and the president certified as having been reelected, and there has been, quote, very serious contact between the staffs of leading Democratic congressmen and senators about formally challenging Ohio's electoral votes on January 6th. That, according to a congressional figure privy to that contact. One senator and one congressman are necessary for such a written challenge, while Congresswoman Maxine Waters of Los Angeles has already said she'd provide the House signature required, and John Conyers of Michigan says he's still considering it. Congressional sources say that the odds of any senator actually signing has, in the last week, risen from almost nothing to better than one chance in three. To read the latest set of tea leaves out of Ohio and the Capitol, I'm joined again by Howard Feynman, chief political correspondent of Newsweek magazine and, of course, an NBC News political analyst. Hello, Howard.
Hi, Keith.
I wrote on the web this morning that I spent the weekend holding Daniel Hoffheimer's first statement up to the light to see if I could read the secret treasure map written on it on the back in invisible ink. And today he admonishes the media not to read into his comments, but if he says only then can the integrity of the entire electoral process and the election of Bush-Cheney warrant the public trust, wasn't he saying that right now, or at least last week, the integrity of the electoral process and the election of Bush-Cheney did not warrant the public trust?
Yeah, that's exactly what he was saying, and I looked at it closely, maybe not with a light shining behind it, but that's exactly what he seemed to have said, which makes the second statement of today all that much more interesting, because there he was saying, well, there's no fraud, no conspiracy. And the way I read the two of them together, Keith, is what the Kerry campaign people are saying through this guy in Ohio is, look, there was no crime here. There was no criminal intent. There were a lot of mistakes made. To use another maybe grim analogy, this wasn't murder. This was, you know, involuntary manslaughter here. There were mistakes. The polling places weren't kept open long enough when they should have been in certain urban districts. There were maybe some overinterpretations of rules or underinterpretation of them. The recount was perhaps not handled properly in all cases, none of which adds up to a conspiracy or fraud, let alone a change in the results of the outcome.
You heard what one of my Democratic friends on the Hill is saying about the chances of a formal challenge to the Ohio electors, that they went from zero to better than 33% in the last week. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's going to be a challenge?
Well, you never say never in politics, especially in the United States Senate. If you already have a House member stepping up and saying that she will sign that letter, who knows? And I can say this, having done a fair amount of reporting now about this new Senate that's about to come into existence. The Democrats and Republicans are already at each other's throats. The Democrats were furious at George Bush for having declared last week that he would try to get all those judges confirmed once again. The Democrats are promising a kind of scorched earth procedural policy on their end. And if they want to truly make life miserable for the president, maybe somebody on the Democratic side will step up and sign. I don't think it'll happen, but I wouldn't say never.
Well, let me take it to its furthest and most utter cynical extreme. Barring the biggest political story in American history breaking out of nowhere between now and January 6th, even if there is a challenge, it's barely going to get any broad Democratic support. It could get one vote in the House and maybe, or one vote in the Senate, maybe half a dozen in the House. Could be that bad a result. Obviously not actually impacting who becomes the president on January 20th. If you combine that fact with what Mr. Hoffheimer said last week about the public trust, is it possible that what some Democrats want out of this is simply, essentially what you just suggested, neutralizing some of the political capital that Mr. Bush spoke of, both in regards to him and the Republican Party?
Well, you don't think they would want to do that, would you, Keith?
That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah, no, of course they would. They want to make it credible, though. So if you want to do something like that, it's got to have some credibility behind it. I'm not sure this, in the end, would. But I'll tell you, things already are nasty on the Hill, even before they get back, and I think they're going to continue in that way. I think also the Democrats, including the Kerry people through their Ohio representatives, want to tell minority voters and others who feel disenfranchised that they heard the message and they want to make things better next time.
Howard Fineman of Newsweek and NBC, as always, sir, great thanks.
Thanks, Keith.
One way to address that opening of the Electoral College votes a week from Thursday is, of course, to eliminate the Electoral College. Looks like Congress is going to be offered that chance for the fourth time in the last 55 years. Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein of California calling the college an anachronism, promising to introduce legislation to provide for direct election of the president and vice president of the United States. Whoever gets the most popular votes, no matter in which state they were cast, would be the winner. The Senate passed such a measure in 1950, but the House killed it then. The House passed it in 1969. The Senate killed it then. The Senate took it up in 1979 and promptly killed it itself. Defenders say the Electoral College keeps the smallest states alive in terms of federal grants and political influence and prevents the nightmare scenario that a recount of a close race would have to be a national recount. Speaking of, 2 weeks from tomorrow, the state of Washington inaugurates its new governor. It may wind up being like the last episode of American Idol or the end of the Miss America contest, where the victor bursts into tears in happy surprise. Now the Republicans are considering contesting the election of the Democrat Christine Gregoire. She only got in on the third count, winning by just 130 of the 2.7 million votes cast. Republican Dino Rossi had won the original election on election night by 241 votes. Then in the mandatory recount, he won by 42 of them. Today, his supporters filed a public records request with the elections director of heavily Democratic King County, seeking a list of all voters in that county and of all ballots. The Republicans say they need that information to help them decide whether or not to challenge Gregoire's victory.